We'd like to welcome you who have joined us on Facebook this morning. And I'm on Facebook. This is my face and here's my book. I know that really helped you, but anyway. But we're going to get into the Word of God. And so in the book of John, chapter 12, we want to turn there. Book of John, chapter 12. And we're nearing the Easter, I guess we call it, season. And real soon, on a Sunday, we'll celebrate the resurrection of Christ from the dead, something we should celebrate every day. But I want to talk to you this morning about the greatest hour. And so Jesus repeatedly said about his hour had not yet come. And this time he says, my hour has come, the hour that he would make the difference for all humanity. Amen. So let's look at John chapter 12, verse 23. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by heard it and said that it thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying what death he would die. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would just minister and talk to the heart and the life of people today as only you can do. I pray, Lord, you'd lift the discouraged and depressed, Lord, to a place of victory and fellowship with you. And God, may your word touch our hearts anew and afresh. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The greatest hour. There are great hours in people's lives, in the sports world, I guess. On basketball or football, it'll be the time when they play the championship, and this is their hour. Or in the Olympics, when people go to the Olympics and they're considered good enough to go there to start with, and in a place where it's safe enough to have one, have the Olympics. And it's something that people have worked hard all their lives for, so that's their hour. But the hour that we're talking about is a different hour. This is the greatest hour ever. The hour that would decide the eternal destiny for mankind. The means by which one could be forgiven, could be saved, could be changed, and could have eternal life. And people search for eternal life every day. And people think that somehow or another they'll come up with a medicine or something that'll make your life longer. But the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. So we're certainly going to die physically, but you don't have to die spiritually. You can be born again of God's Spirit and given the gift of eternal life. Amen. A glorified body. But this is the reason Jesus came to this hour, for you and for me, to reconcile man to God, that they might have a settled account with God. Man. You may have some things you don't have a settled account with. You may have credit card bills you don't have a settled account with, you wish, but you don't. But I want to tell you something this morning. You can have a settled account with God, because Jesus will forgive, Jesus will save, God will give eternal life, God will forgive, and God will give you a new place for eternity. Praise the Lord. And so, in the book of John chapter 1, the Word of God talks there very powerfully. It talks on every page. The only way that this could be a great hour was for God to intervene in humanity. He didn't have to. God owed us nothing, but God made the choice because of love. He made the choice to come to our lives and to give us the hope of eternal life. Amen. John 1, verse 14. It says, the Word, Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, this is He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we know that He came to His own did not receive Him, but as many as received Him, He gave them the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe upon His name. And so it's not just a religious thing that we become children of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, He said, except a man be born again, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But thank God, we can have eternal life. We can be birthed, born again of God's Spirit, born spiritually, and have eternal life. And for this hour, Jesus came, the greatest hour. And the reason for this greatest hour, Jesus came this hour. He knew He would come there. He came to earth. He entered humanity. He was God, Son of God. Amen. And became the Son of Man, so that sons of men might become the children of God. But He entered humanity for this purpose, and for the reason for this hour, the greatest hour, that He would lay down His life for you and I. Love for you and me brought Him to this hour. Amen. It'd be hard to lay down your life for somebody. It'd be hard for you to give your own child to save somebody else. It has happened a few times, but not in the sense that it happened here. And Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so there is no greater love ever been given to humanity, regardless of what relationship it may have been, regardless of what Hollywood may have come up with. There is no greater love than that which is the love of God, that God laid down His life, His Son's life, because He loved you and I. And without this hour of Jesus coming, the destiny for all humanity would be eternal separation from God. The book of Revelation is called the second death, an eternity of death and dying forever. That's hard to understand. It would be awful to experience, but you don't have to. You can be born again. You can be saved by grace through faith. Amen. And what Jesus did and would do on the cross, praise the Lord. And so there is a reason for this hour, and that is that you and I could be saved. And without this hour, the destiny of all humanity would be separation from God. And the Word of God says, Jesus says here, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. And so we know that seeds are planted. Things die off in the fall, in the winter, and in the spring they come again. And let me use this as an illustration. If you can guess by now, I grew up on a farm. I thought you got that. Yeah, okay. But there was a kind of grass called nut grass. And we didn't like it. And there was no chemical that would cure it. But underground it grew, and there's a little nut on the end of it that it would grow over 3 or 4 feet and come up another nut grass. And so it was very difficult to get rid of, and my daddy hated it. And I hated it too, because I had to go out in the peanut field and hoe it. Amen. Amen. So we finally got rid of it. Anyway, I think it moved to Washington. Couldn't pass that up. A lot of nuts up there. Anyway. But things die that they may live again. And it would happen to Jesus. He would die, He would rise again from the dead, and it would produce much fruit. Because you see, there would be a resurrection of everybody that lived and died in Christ. A resurrection from the dead, and eternal life would be given. And so Jesus did that, and that was the reason for this hour. Amen. Not only for the reason for this hour, but let's look at the judgment of this hour. And Jesus died on the cross just for our sins, but Jesus was judged in our place on the cross for our sins. All the shame, all the guilt would fall upon the sinless Savior, the Jesus who had done no sin, is completely pure, completely holy, completely righteous, and lived in humanity and never failed his Father one time, never committed one sin. And so he is the one and the only one who is able to give eternal life and forgive sins, because he was a perfect Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Israel was familiar with lambs being sacrificed for their sins, and blood had to be shed before there could be atonement. But it wasn't a complete atonement until Jesus came. And John the Baptist sees Jesus coming one day, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He is saying, this is the perfect Lamb, and he's going to only die once, only has to die once, and his blood is perfect and pure and sinless, and it will atone for the deepest and darkest stains of sin by whoever commits them, if they will come to him in faith. Praise the Lord. So let's look at the judgment of this hour. And here, Satan is known as the ruler of this world. He's the most wicked, evil, corrupt ruler ever that the world ever had. And the Bible, Jesus said, the thief, Satan, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In the Garden of Eden, back in Genesis 1, don't worry, I won't take too long to get back to John. But the sin in the Garden of Eden, man's fall from God, caused sin and Satan to be ruler of the world. And you say, well, I don't believe a person can fall from grace. Let me tell you something. Adam and Eve had more grace than anybody ever had, and they fell from it because they sinned. And so, yes, God's grace is sufficient, and God forgives the sinner. Praise the Lord. But Satan became the ruler of this world through that sin, and man failed in his hour of temptation. He partook of the forbidden fruit. And therefore, everybody from Adam on would be born with a sin nature, with a tendency to do evil or wrong instead of good. And so the only way there could be anything that would put man back in right relationship with God, it took the Son of God with perfect blood to atone for our sins. And we see that Satan is called the ruler of this age, and we can see the rule of evil throughout our world today. We can see wars and fightings, attacks, innocent being people being killed, and attacks against all God-ordained relationships. There is no question that the enemy of our soul wants to destroy husband, wife, parent, and children relationships completely. He would love to do that. He's trying to do that. He is doing that in some way or another. We don't have to let it happen, but people do let that happen. And so we see evil is still in our world. The God of this age, amen, is at work to destroy people's lives. He's called that. He's not God for eternity. He's just called the God of this age. He's not in any way the same as God the Father in heaven. And so the shedding of innocent blood locally, nationally, and globally is wrong. And any way you put it, taking a child's life before they're born is murder, first degree. And it carries with it, in Old Testament law, the death penalty immediately. And I'll tell you, God hadn't changed his mind about death. God's will is not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But yet, taking innocent people's lives and the shedding of innocent blood, you'll find throughout Scripture, God hates the shedding of innocent blood. So let's keep that in mind. And let's I don't care what this person or that person or this politician or that politician thinks, that politician, I'm not a politician. But God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Let's remember, that's God's law. But one day, Satan will be cast out. He will never have complete control of earth ever again. And Jesus said in Luke 10:18, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." We know that Satan fell out of heaven. He was once a good angel, but he became an evil angel, because he decided he wanted to be like God. As a matter of fact, he wanted to be like the Most High. And God kicked him out of heaven, and a third of the angels with him, because they rebelled against God. And so Lucifer became the ruler of this age in that sense. And so, but one day, Satan will be cast out forever. There will be a day when there's not another sin, not another devil, not another demon, not another evil work, not another sinful work. You say, well, it would take God to do that. It does, and God will do that one day. There will be a new heaven and a new earth one day wherein dwelleth righteousness. There won't be no sin there. There won't be any bad neighbors. There won't be anything but good in heaven. Praise the Lord. And so mankind would be given opportunity for God to rule his life, his present, and his eternity. The hour had come, and if Jesus had not come and done this, there would be nothing in eternity for you and I except suffering and death and shame and sorrow and judgment. But God would be glorified with this hour that Jesus came, the greatest hour. Man could be reconciled, have a settled account with God because of this hour, this time. And Jesus said, this hour has come. Amen. He, various places in Scripture, Jesus said his hour had not yet come. But now Jesus says the hour has come, that he would deal with sin, the reason he came here to start with. And we look at man could be reconciled to God. The power and the penalty of sin could be fully paid because of this hour. And nothing would satisfy the Father when it come to sacrifice except that of his own Son. God had to become man and die and shed his sinless blood for there to be atonement. So it came at great price. That's the reason we have no place to boast or to brag and say my salvation's better than yours, or I was saved, or I wasn't like them. We were just like them that were lost, just totally lost until saved. Amen. And God, so we have nothing to brag about. It all come about as an act of God's grace. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the power and the penalty of sin could be fully paid for because of this greatest hour. And let's look for a minute at the betrayal of this hour. As Jesus would come to the cross, he would be betrayed. And betrayed means a breach of trust. And it would come from one of the 12 disciples of Christ. And it's hard to believe that anybody that had the revelation that Judas had, that he could turn and betray his Lord. He had seen Jesus cast out demons. He had seen Jesus heal the sick. He had seen Jesus heal every sickness and disease. He'd seen Jesus raise the dead. As a matter of fact, one time he and the 12 disciples had been empowered to go forth and to do the miracles of God. And they did. At that time that God had given them the power, Jesus had given them that authority. But somewhere in it, Judas wanted more than just to see Jesus' miracles. He's probably like many Jewish people. He wanted deliverance from Roman oppression. But anyway, he came to the place where he was willing to betray his Lord. It wasn't that he wasn't warned or didn't know any better. Jesus made sure he knew better. And people become what they are by choices they make, and God gives us that ability as humans to make choices, whether they want to be saved or lost. And so we find that Jesus said, the Son of Man goes just as just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. I don't know how any stronger warning could have been given to Judas, but yet Judas did the unthinkable and betrayed his Lord for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave in that day. And so we know that he wasn't made to do this. He wasn't pre-programmed to do this. Judas made the conscious decision to betray Christ. John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That would include Judas and you and me. After supper ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon's son, to betray him. And so we see here, even in this verse, it does not say that Satan forced Judas to do anything. It says that Satan put it into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. And the Greek here simply implies that Satan tempted Judas with the idea of betraying Jesus. And so it was Judas, it wasn't God, not Satan, but Judas became responsible, personally responsible, did I say that right, for the betrayal. He was guilty. Nobody made him do it. He wasn't pre-programmed to do it. Amen. He wasn't pre-programmed before the sin, before the mankind was created. Said, I'm going to make you Judas because I'm going to make you to betray the Son of God. He made the choice to do what he did. And I know it was prophesied beforehand in Isaiah or Psalm 41:9, I believe it was, that my own familiar friend in whom I trusted has lifted up his heel against me. And so we know that God doesn't tempt anyone to do evil. James 1:14, it says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire or lust. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, produces death. And so this hour would bring mankind to the place, or bring Jesus to the place where he would suffer for our sins, that he would take the death penalty for my sin and yours. That's a lot of love, friend, that cannot be personally explained. It has to be experienced when we're born again. Today, people are personally responsible for what they do with Jesus. The way which they will enter eternity is up to them. Amen. And you say, well, if they hadn't heard the gospel, that's God's given message to the church. Everybody has to hear the gospel. That's the reason we send missionaries, foreign and local missionaries. And God, the reason God has put you and I here to be a missionary, amen, to be an example and to let the light of Christ shine so that people won't die lost. God's desire is not that anybody die and go to hell, but people go there because they choose to reject God's gracious offer of salvation through his Son. God could have given no other or greater offer to you and I than his Son. He gave heaven's best. And so people are responsible. And the hour that Jesus had, that was be the hour that would change people forever. This hour must happen, or there would be no salvation. There would be no hope. There would be no reason for anybody to go to church today if this hour hadn't come. Amen. You say, well, they're just, their world is full of atheists. Let me tell you something. Yeah, they are. Let me tell you something. Atheism usually ends on the deathbed, because God made people to know that there's something more there than just this life. You can look anywhere in the world. We live in a praying world. They're not praying to the right God, but we live in a praying world. People worship God in any culture, any nation in this world. You'll find people worshiping a God of some kind, not the one true God. Our part is to give the revelation of the one true God, Christ, to them. Amen. And so one of the major doctrines of Scripture is, you know, of truth, is one true God. There's only one. And so this hour happened to Jesus that there would be salvation and hope. My friend, this day we are looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who died to redeem us from every lawless deed. I want to tell you something. God's will is you end up in heaven with him. God's will is that everybody be saved. That doesn't mean that God automatically saves everybody. They have to come to the place of confession of sins and admit that they're a sinner and they're guilty and they need God and they can't do it themselves. Amen. But God made mankind where he needs God. I don't want to live a day without God. You say, well, you're a pastor. That doesn't make any difference. I'm a human being just like you are, and I need God and you need God just like I do. Man. So there would be no salvation, there would be no hope. We hear things constantly that tries to give mankind hope. Advertisements give hope to people, or they try to anyway. And they advertise whatever they have, and they'll say, if you'll just take this, and if you'll just take this pill and that pill, you know, then this will change your life forever. It won't, but they say it will, because they're trying to sell you something. But old saying, but I recommend the gospel, it will change your life forever. And so this hour must happen, or there would be no salvation, no hope, no eternal life, no forgiveness, only destruction and only judgment. Because that is the just and the righteousness of God, is to judge sin. And God judged his own Son in my place and yours, because he loved you and I so much. Simple message. But sin has to be dealt with. And this hour came that sin might be dealt with. And Jesus took upon us, this is the words of a song, He took upon himself our sins and sorrows, made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. And Jesus died alone, crying out in some of his last words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He died alone that you and I would never have to die alone. If you've got Jesus in your heart and your soul, it may not be friends and relatives surrounding your bedside when you die. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But if you've got Jesus in your heart, you'll never die alone. He's there to carry you to eternal glory and eternal life. That's a wonderful thing about our Savior. But sin had to be dealt with, and God chose to deal with it. Amen. Sent his Son. And sin has to be dealt with today, God's way. There has to be repentance. There has to be faith in Christ's work on the cross. There has to be a decision made to follow Christ. Judas made a decision to reject Christ and betray his Lord. My friend, the hour of decision is to give your heart to Jesus. Amen. Don't leave this world without Christ. You don't want to leave this world without him. You may leave this world without silver and gold. You're going to leave whatever you got. You're going to leave it here. But you don't have to leave it without Christ. And today, this is your hour. The Apostle Paul could cry out and he'd say, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen. And so, the Apostle Paul, before his conversion, he had plenty of everything. He thought he was a pretty stout Pharisee. And he was a Pharisee of all Pharisees. But he saw that life wasn't fair. You see? Forget that. Anyway. But he realized that he needed something more than what he had. And when Jesus met him on that Damascus road, he realized he had nothing. He said, I was of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, I have all the qualifications to be a great Pharisee, but he didn't have Christ. And he had to cry out, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And then he realized that he needed Jesus more than he needed anything. All of his religious training would do him no good. It wouldn't pay for one single sin in his life. All the sacrifices made would just push his sins further on until Christ, the perfect sacrifice, could come along. And that was his hour. And he cried out to God, and God saved Paul, made him one of the greatest preachers ever. And he could say, I've given up my old life. He said, I'm crucified. I've put to death my old pursuits of sinful life. I'm crucified with Christ. Till it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes from the law, then Christ died in vain. But righteousness does not come from the law. The Old Testament, Ten Commandments, righteousness comes through faith in what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. And Jesus was the only one who lived the perfect righteousness of the law. And he's the only one that can save us. Amen. Praise God. So the greatest hour would come. It has come. Amen. And it's a great hour anytime somebody gives their heart to Jesus, because they can be forgiven and be given hope wherever, where there's no hope any other way but through Christ. Praise the Lord.